Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
Thank you, Amara. So that's Amara Pagano from Azul. She is the sponsor for the Dance and Creativity Channel. And we'll pop a link in the chat to her website where you can go to access those amazing gifts that she's offered. And we really do recommend people go and check those out because her thing is amazing. So welcome to the Dance and Creativity Channel. The session we have for you now is called Brazilian Samba, Afro-Diasporic Alternative to Reconnect. Our presenter today is Felipe Morris. He's also known as Gato de Salto, or in English, Puss in Heels. He's a Brazilian samba dancer who's breaking the barriers of gender and fighting for equality and acceptance within the international samba scene. He holds workshops and performs in various countries and takes part in the yearly carnival celebrations in Rio de Janeiro. His trademarks are his high heels within a dance scene which is predominantly conservative and cisgender orientated. So thank you, Felipe. We're very excited to have you. I'll let you take away the session, but just one more message to our participants. If any of you do want to come into the room to have your cameras on to join in this practical session, please do click raise hand and we'll bring you into the room. Thanks, Felipe.
Thank you very much for this wonderful, wonderful introduction. Hello, everyone from my side. I am really happy to be here with you today. And I already say thank you for you to feeling to just joining this session and being open to find out about something probably different, probably exotic, probably new for you. And my goal today is perhaps to be able to provide you with a clear way of thinking how you can actually find yourself in something that is completely different. You know, I don't know if you have ever had any type of exposure to samba, to Brazilian samba in your country. I don't know where you guys are from, who is joining here. So if you do have the chance, just write quickly in the chat where you're from. I would love to know that. who is everyone, where are you guys from? Okay, I see people from Brazil, from Toronto, wonderful. Okay, whoever's in Brazil, I'm sure you've been exposed to samba before. So very, very cool. Toronto, Dublin, Bristol in the UK, London. We are quite a nice group of people from many parts of the world. So my name is Felipe, as I have been already introduced. I am Brazilian myself. I grew up in Brazil and I currently live in Europe, in Austria, in Vienna. And I have a funny story when it comes to samba myself, because you know, when you grow up in Brazil, you're exposed to samba, there's no way of running from it. You know, whenever we are in parties or even the carnival celebrations, which are huge and celebrated all over the country and even broadcast to foreign countries, samba is always there. But I grew up, I'm from the big city, but I grew up in the countryside where you don't actually, you can't go to a samba school, a place where people play and dance samba. It's really something that you see on TV, but rather in another part of the country or of difficult access if you do not belong to that community. So I was always amazed at the entire samba thing. What do I mean by that? The whole carnival experience, all the parades and the floats and the costumes that you probably know from the press, from the media, from videos and TV. So I used to dance just like a regular Brazilian person, you know, just like enjoy. And it was not only until after I left the country and I was here in Austria for almost 9 years that I started feeling very, very homesick. I started feeling very, very sad. I was sort of already integrated, but not really. The language is quite difficult, it's German. So I was having a lot of trouble trying to find myself. And by chance, I noticed that it was actually what was missing was the connection to my home country, my culture. But hang on to that just for a minute. Anyway, I found this connection to samba and that healed me, really. And it gave me a purpose. And I don't mean just a purpose in life. It really changed my entire life. Because everything that I do now, it's related in a way or revolves around passion that I have for Brazilian samba, which is, in my opinion, not only a music style or a dance style or an art form, which I'll tell you more about it in the session, but it's also a lifestyle. It dictates in a way or helps me, gives me guidelines on how to for nutrition, how to exercise, how to find in me the strength to perform, how to find within me the strength to go out there and really express what I feel and not really caring about how it will arrive at the receptor, but really it's a whole interior process of feeling and healing and expressing that I managed to create within samba, even though I'm not from the samba community, and I will explain you what that means. So I really hope that you can see an opportunity in this for you to reconnect to different parts of yourself, your body, your mind, your femininity, perhaps. I don't know, there's so much to offer and there's so much on the table for that. And I'm seeing here, sorry, that was very bright. So my plan and what we're going to do now is I'm going to tell you about a little bit about the history of samba so you understand how we all are related when it comes to this new art form that I'm presenting here for you. As I said, maybe it's not new, but it's very different. And then I would like, if you would like to join me, I would like to teach you a few basic movements and just an introduction to the basic samba step with a bit of a little flair and help you try to feel comfortable in those steps. It's going to be easy. You don't have to worry. You don't need a lot of space. I don't have a lot of space myself here. You know, this is Europe. Everything very close together. So I'm sure you guys are going to do wonderful wherever you are. And if you feel you prefer to stay seated or you don't want to join the dancing class, it's also absolutely no problem at all. There will be a lot of interesting information for you too on Brazil, Brazilian culture, Brazilian image, and Brazilian samba. Okay, so I really hope you enjoy. Let's get to it. All right, first of all, I would like to say samba, what a word. I'm sure you've all heard samba once in your life, and it sounds so round. I don't know, for me, it sounds like a very round word, like samba. It's something easy, nice to pronounce. So I was wondering where it actually comes from. And of course, there's not only one possibility. There are many, many possibilities to the origin of the word, but what the etymology of the words, it comes actually from an African language group, the Bantu language group. And there are two definitions that I like quite a lot and I would like to tell you. So one comes from a language called Kimendo, from Angola. And said samba could possibly come from a word called samba with an E instead of an A, so not samba, instead samba. And that is actually a dance form, or actually a dance move within a folk dance from a tribe in that country. And it means touching belly buttons. And there's so much I can already say about this. I mean, how interesting is it? You know, when you touch belly buttons, when you're dancing with someone, there's a lot of connection in there. And belly buttons also have, I don't know, a very poetic meaning, in my opinion. Your connection to your mother is, you know, you're connected to the center of your body. And when you're dancing samba, when we dance samba, every movement in tension, so before you even do the movement, comes from your core. So having the idea that samba comes from samba, which is touching belly button, is quite nice. And another possible explanation to the origin of the word, it actually comes from another language. I always have to read the name of this one, Umbundu, also a Bantu language. And this definition just say that samba comes from the word samba, and it means happiness. So whichever this definition you prefer to choose, I think it's a very genuine definition to express what we do when we dance samba, when we hear samba. So samba, for me, is an art form. It's an art form that is 100% Brazilian. That's very difficult, actually, but it is. The interesting thing about it is that, as you probably read in the description of this class or the session, or even as Jaime already said at the beginning, it's an Afro-diasporic art form. Well, Afro, because it does have its base on African culture, on African religion, on African music and African dance, and diasporic because it was brought from Africa to Brazil. It was a forced diaspora. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Brazil was a country discovered, or like not discovered, but at least occupied, let me put it this way, by the Portuguese in the 1500s. So when they started building up the Brazilian nation, they already started building the base of our society on slavery. And the impact of that is huge up to today. So when I say that this is an Afro-diasporic art form, 100% Brazilian, it's interesting and important to understand that really the origin of it comes from Africa. And it developed further in Brazil with mixtures and influences from other cultures, other music styles, other religions, and other dances, European dances mostly. So this mixing of cultures in Brazil originated samba and originated the Brazilian society. If you look at Brazil today, anyone present in this room, regardless of how you look, you could be Brazilian. We are very diverse. We are very diverse people. You know, the appearances can't tell anything. We've got many types of people, but at the end, that's what we all are, people. And that's very important to understand. So in our country, I have the right to say so because I am Brazilian. We value a lot everything that comes from outside. Everything that is from abroad, ballet, classic music, cinema, everything is very, very valued. What we have from ourselves, from our country, not as much valued as I would like it to be. And it's interesting to see because, again, you know, our country was always focusing on other countries as an emerging nation, Brazil, a nation in growth. We have always been focusing to North America or Europe, you know, other developed countries, looking up to them concerning art, concerning politics, and many, many other things. And it's actually interesting to know that this also tells a lot about Brazilian society and how samba came to be. So as I said, when slaves were brought to the country back in the 1500s, they brought with them their customs, their religion, their music styles, and that was of course forbidden. But even then, during the imperial times, I don't know if you guys know, but we actually had an imperial family in Brazil. I didn't know that for a very long time. We even have palaces that are still possible to visit. That's first something that I came to my mind. I'm going to visit a Brazilian palace after I move to Europe because here it's something normal. But our court, our Brazilian court, was actually already interested in the rhythms that were brought from Africa together with the slaves, so rhythms of Black origin. And many parties and celebrations at the court used these music styles as entertainment. I would like to play something for you. It's a music style from around the 1800s, 1700s, called Lundu, L-U-N-D-U, Lundu. And here you can hear the perfect mixture between African beats and African drums and European music instruments from that time. So let me just see if, technically speaking, everything is prepared for you to hear it. Just give me one moment. Now it should be. And since I can see a couple of you, I would like you to please raise a thumb like this if you can hear it, so I know that it's working. And here it is. The first time I found this, I was like, my gosh, this is amazing. You know, you can really get a feeling of how it was back then before it evolved to what it is today. So I was very, very passionate about it. But anyway, just to carry on and with a bit more history, I know it's heavy, but it's also very interesting. I'm very passionate about it. I apologize. okay, so we had this whole mixing, melting pot of cultural excitement in Brazil. And any manifestation, any gathering of Afro-cultural origins or religion, sort of Afro-religion gathering, everything was forbidden by law. Also, after slavery was abolished. Slavery was abolished very, very late in 1888. We were the last Western country to do that. And in 1889, the capital moved from Bahia, which is a state in the north of Brazil. If you think of Brazil as a heart-shaped nation, the part up there is Bahia, so it's central, very big state. And it moved down to Rio de Janeiro. Rio de Janeiro, many, many people have heard of Rio before. So our capital moved there. So you had, I don't know, thousands and thousands and thousands of slaves which have already been freed, but didn't get any sort of support from the government at the time. So they needed to go after work. They could either stay with their families and the friends and in the farms, mostly farms where they work, or they would go and try this new amazing freedom that the government was giving to them. And girls try to find work. Where do you find work in the big cities? Where do you find work in the big cities, especially at that time in the 1800s? The port. So the port where ships were coming, that's where people would find work, and that's where they would start settling. Again, now they were being more expressive with their own costumes, and you know, it was still forbidden by law, so they were pushed away from the portuary area of the town, up the hills And that's how the favelas were formed. So the communities or the slums, you probably already heard that in Rio there are slums, also in São Paulo and other Brazilian cities, or other cities in South America and around the world. But that's how they were formed in Rio. And since these gatherings, these cultural gatherings, religious gatherings, where the drums were played were forbidden by law, they only had the chance to do it in private, in houses, in big houses that were owned by someone who would allow them to do that. And those were mostly candomblé priestesses. Now, that's an Afro-religion, Afro-Brazilian religion that was brought with the slaves to Brazil. And there, they, in order, because of the ceremony and the dogmas of the religion, they would play on their drums. And those drums were, you know, they would inspire people. And that's really, really interesting, because that's where I would like to say that samba is deeply connected to religion, to a type of religion. In this case, candomblé. There's also Umbanda in Brazil, is also another type of Afro-Brazilian religion. But this, in this context, it, within religious rituals, samba was born. And that's why I say that the base of samba is of African descent, okay? Even though it had the influence of European and even North American rhythms and music styles later on. So in these gatherings, in these private houses, there was a culture clash and a social clash. We had musicians from different classes, from different places of town coming to make music, to create in those private houses where religious rituals were being carried out. And that, in that context, as I said, samba was born with the influence of other art forms and other rhythms. For example, the maxixe of Portugal or the jazz, the North American jazz later on. And that's when samba first became recorded, okay? So the first recording we ever had from samba is actually from 1916, and it sounds really a lot different than what we have today. But how exactly did something that was so forbidden, so much taboo, become the symbol, the entire symbol, or the symbol of an entire nation? Very interesting part of history. After the samba started being recorded and this sort of international influence samba started being commercialized, we had in the early 20s something called an artistic movement, Semana de Arte de 22, so the Art Week of 1922. Where Brazilian artists really came together and they said, hey, people, we have a problem. Our entire society, including the arts, are Eurocentric. We always look up to Europe to know what's in vogue. We always look up to the United States to know what's fashionable. We always look, you know, so there was also always this international sort of approval, meeting of approval for Brazilian art, and they decided to stop that. They created a tropicalism, which is also an artistic movement. And within that context, they started to stop looking outside, to the outside of Brazil, and started looking inside. What do we have here? What is ours? How can we make this flourish? And then there comes another dark part of history that you probably know, but around the Second World War, First and Second World War, the feeling of nationalism was very, very, very hot all over the world, including in Brazil. We also had a dictator, Getúlio Vargas. And this guy was very clever. He sent his foreign minister to Germany, the Nazis Germany, where Hitler was, and said, you go to Germany and understand what they're doing there and why is it working so well. And when that guy came back, he basically said that nationalism, the feeling of nationalism, the feeling of belonging, here we come, the feeling of belonging somewhere, the feeling of being together, of having an identity, That feeling is what moves everything. That feeling of connection is what moves everything. So they decided to create a Brazilian identity, which didn't exist because before we had the empire, so we had different people united under the crown, but we didn't have a Brazilian identity. So they started to create it, and what did they choose? They chose samba. Okay, so this is very, very, I'm sorry for the long introduction. And they started selling it hard time because, you know, after the war was over, they still had this Brazilian image, and they started selling with images known all over the world. I don't know if you know Carmen Miranda, an actress from the 50s and 60s with all the fruits in her head, the lady with the tutti frutti hat of Carmen Miranda, which was to dance like this, a very different type of samba. But yes, that was also included in the Brazilian identity. So it's interesting to understand that. And with that idea in mind, looking back to its origin, to where it really came from, to the African country, and understand that the culture, the type of culture in that continent is rather an oral culture. You will not find writings passing down the generations, how the drums are played, what do the drums mean. You will not find that. Those stories, those traditions are passed orally from generation to generation, which is just another type of, you know, story recording, but that doesn't mean that the way we do it here in Europe now with everything perfectly documented is better, right? So with that thought in mind, let's have a look, and I'm trying to understand, imagine, not understand, what the drums could possibly mean. In samba, especially the samba that we dance in carnival in Rio, we have two big, big, big drums. We have many, many drums of many, many different types. I even have one here hanging on my wall called a tambourine. But we also have different instruments, a big, big round drum, huge drum called surdo. And the surdos, they have a really bass sound, really deep. And it marks the beat of the music. Boom, 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 boom. This is the marking of the beat of the bass of samba, of any samba song. You will find that marking, you would find that movement. And even though it's an easy marking and it's an easy rhythm, and it's so bass, so low, yeah, boom, 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 it connects to something that all of us present in this room have. You know what? And this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you have any gentlemen here, but anyway, I usually don't in my classes. If there are any, or anyone who you know, identifies him or herself with anything in between, ladies, gentlemen, and everything else, that's the secret. The beat of the samba goes straight to your heart because those are the sounds. So when you are close to a bateria, what is a bateria? It's a gathering, it's a drums playing all together, you feel the connection. It's the easiest way for you to actually experience that connection, is for you to feel it and remind yourself that yes, we are all human. And okay, I'm a guy with curly hair, dark eyes, white skin, but we are all humans. My heart beats with the same, you know, rhythm than almost everyone else in the world. And so do the all of your hearts. So with that thought in mind, I sort of understood what happened to me. How did me, like a white guy from a middle class family in Brazil, became a international some reference, which now I can call myself that in a way, dancing in high heels. How did that happen? Because I allowed that connection in me to flourish. I accepted to myself that I do not come from the samba community. I do not come from the people who grow up within a samba school, but those drums, they speak directly to my heart. And if I let it flourish, this is what happens to me. So people who live in Brazil, yes, they have a different lifestyle that you guys and we. I live in Austria. I know that there's a lot of people from the UK or from the United States, North America, from Australia. Our lifestyles are very, very different, but we all have things that connect us. I'm sure I can safely say this here, but we've all had a broken heart in the past, right? We've all had the experience of extreme happiness for whatever reason. And we all probably had the experience of extreme sadness. So it's important in such a globalized world to remember that at the end, our hearts beat just like the surdo. And all you have to do is to look into yourself to find that originality, that strength, that beat, and get your energy from there to become what you want. So I think this is a very interesting thought, and it relates in a way to what we've been seeing in this wonderful days of the embodiment conference. It's you being able to connect to your truth, recognize how your truth relates to everyone's truth, even if he or she or they or it or anything in between does not recognize it, and accept, understand. Okay? Do you accept your limitations? You can. You know, you're free to do what you want. You're free to, you just have, I suggest you be nice to yourself. And accepting limitations is a very, very important thing. But they can as well be, you know, you can actually get over them, even if you don't realize. And that can actually happen quite quickly. I have people coming to my class in all different age groups, with all different body shapes. And I've had the wonderful pleasure of seeing them all perform. They're all from a different foreign country. They're not Brazilian. And I've had even greater pleasure of bringing them with me to Rio, setting them loose next to to all those drums and watching them dance and seeing Brazilian people go like, wow, is she Brazilian? Because it's something that happens in your heart, okay? So of course, today we are gonna have a look into the introduction, just a little bit of a taste of how it is to dance samba, understand the music, but if you persist, if you practice, if you open your heart and you open your mind and accept the connection that we naturally have with this dance, with this art form, because of the beating of our hearts, you can achieve whatever you want. If you don't want to perform, you don't have to perform, but hey, you can. If you don't want to dance, you don't have to dance, but hey, you could, you know? You don't need to own a feather costume. What are you going to do with a feather costume? But why not, if you like it, you know? So just as an all-in-all suggestion, I know we are in very, very different life stages in different countries. If you are interested in learning more about samba, you can always check my YouTube channel called Samba World. just type on YouTube Samba World or Gato de Salto, and you will find my YouTube channel. Or you can always text me, message me, get in touch with me. You're going to be make sure to put my Instagram here at some point. And I am very well connected all around the world, and I can definitely tell you where you can get classes, who you can trust to go to Rio with, or you can even come with me. I've already done that before. Have people from Australia, from the UK, from different countries of the world, and we all meet in Rio, and we all understand how it works. Unfortunately, I don't know if you've heard, but there's something going around. It's called coronavirus. So things have been canceled. I don't know how it is there where you are, but there will be no carnival, sadly, next year, but the year after, 2022, we will be there. So there you go. Thank you very much. Someone just posted in the chat the name. So Gato de Salto, that's my Instagram. You can just check that on Instagram. You will find my profile. You will find my pictures and my beautiful feather costumes and my heels. And you will also find a link to my YouTube channel. So wonderful. Great. So here, halfway through our session, we have reached the point of dancing. So if you want to, I would ask you to stand up. I'm going to stand up myself. I'm going to show you movements, and I'll always try to come back to the computer, to speak towards the computer, because I know that when I'm away, I'm not wearing a headset, so it might be difficult for you to hear me, all right? So I'm going to show you two, perhaps three steps that are really, really cool. The first thing I'm going to ask you to do is
Felipe, we can't hear you, unfortunately, when you move away from the camera.
That's what I thought. I'm going to stay here and then I'm going to move away. Let's just start by moving our shoulders back in a circular motion, okay? Just move it back, squeeze your shoulder blades together when you do that, and get that loosened. All right? We're also gonna move now and roll our shoulders forward. When you do that, make sure you really roll your back, really rolling and activating all of those muscles back there. Very good. Relax as well. Try to activate your abs and contract your abs when you move your shoulders forward, so you already get them a little bit warmed up. All right? Very good. Keep doing that. Go back to the shoulder back rolls. And I'm going to give you some more information about the posture that I would like you to keep for the rest of your life, because this posture is going to change your life. People, believe me, okay? It's a posture that I call the turkey. You know a turkey, like what you probably perhaps eat on Thanksgiving. Don't eat it, just wear it as a posture, okay? Very easy. You need to press your shoulder blades together, like this. Lift your rib cage and align your head. Is the posture that I would like you to do. Just like a turkey, when it puffs up, it goes like, yeah, that's the posture that we use for Samba and that I would like you to use it in your whole life, and you will see the magic that will bring to you. I'm seeing all of you doing the turkeys. That looks good, people. Well done. Good. So for our little combo of dancing, we will add the shoulder back rotation, which are easy, okay? I'm not gonna spend too much time there. The next move is a hip rotation, and we're going to rotate our hips to the inward. Let me stand up and show you first. I'll rotate my hips. So from here, I'm rotating inward. Okay. Here are my hips. very easy hip rotation. Just for the sake of warming up, let's try the other side. It's always more difficult. I see you moving and you're looking amazing. Very well done. And now we're going to get to the slightly more complicated parts, which are the steps. First, I'm going to give you one introductory step, which is easy. You step out, you transfer your weight, and you cross. Look. I'm just going to turn around so you see it, how it looks from the back. So I won't be seeing you, I won't be able to see you for a moment, okay? Hold on that and try to do it with me. Okay, I see you all moving together. That's good. I think it worked. All right. So I'm just going to start the combo until we reach the point of doing the basic step. And then I'll start the explanation of the basic step, okay? So our combo will be shoulders. 1, 2, 3. Okay, and it's not a rolled all the time. Let's try to add an accent to those movements. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, well done, looking good, looking good. Now we're gonna go to the hip rotation. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, and to the steps that we just did. 5, 6, 7, 8. I'll show you first facing you, and then I'll turn around and show you facing the back, just like you will probably see. I'm not using right and left because I don't know if my image is mirrored to you, okay? Just to add a little bit of more samba flavor, stand on your back leg and bend your knee like this. I'll put a song on and we'll do the same over and over and over just to get used to it, okay? Just give me a second. I will do it facing you and then I'll do it facing the back of the room. Thank you. How did we do? Thumbs up, thumbs middle, thumbs down. Oh my gosh, I know that sometimes it's complicated. Good. I am trying to go, I'm going to break down the basic step in the easiest way for you to be able to practice on, okay? And then we're gonna finish the session. We are already running out of time, but we will be able to cover this. I am 100% sure. Okay, ladies, and in case there are any gentlemen watching this, gentlemen, and anything else in between, let's try to think of what we did with our shoulders. One and two. It's a different type of counting for one, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three, and one, two, three. We will keep that counting in mind. One, two, three. One, two, three, okay? And we will take three steps backwards, basically. Not good. I'll show you it's easier, but for you to understand, it's three steps. One and two, or one, two, three. I'll count one, two, three, it's easier for you to see. I'll start closing the computer and I move back, and then I'll turn around and come back to you. Whenever you're ready, you can try to join me, okay? The leg that I'm lifting first is free. There's no weight on it, or just a little bit, just, you know. Now, the difficulty here is to be able to sit on your hip. I don't know if you do this, but you know, some people sit on their hips. Like sitting. And you will be sitting on your hip whenever you hit the first step. You sit, and then you sit on the other side. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three, and one, two, three, okay? I'll do it again, moving back, and then coming to you with music. How did it go? It's not easy. But the thing is, whenever I was watching you, whenever I had I was facing the computer, I saw that you were all moving and you were all bouncing and you were all connecting to the music. And it's such an easy way and such a tiny further step to connect not only to the music, but to connect it to yourself. And, you know, whatever, if there is any explanation, scientific or psychologically, I am able to externalize my femininity through this dance as well. So anyone can connect to it. It takes time, it takes effort, it's a very ambitious thing to do within 15 minutes, but I think we covered a lot today in this session about the history of samba, about where it comes from, about Brazilian culture, about Brazilian history, Brazilian, in a way, even politics and sociology. And we covered a few cool movements that will set you on your own path to becoming an international Brazilian samba dancer and performing with amazing headpieces of feathers, fake feathers, if you are an ecologist and care for the rights of animals like I do, or no, I don't know, it's up to you. But anyway, I really hope you appreciated everything that we did. I would love to continue and give you a lot more information for you, but we are very, very strict on time, especially because there's so many more interesting sessions still to come, and I'm sure you will have a wonderful time. So again, if you are interested, make sure you check my Instagram out. I could always use more of my work. Check my YouTube channel, Samba World, for more precious information on this amazing art form, and connect people, accept. Those are my two words. I know that many session leaders and trainers have their own, you know, sort of wrap-up phrase, but my two words are accept yourself and connect to yourself. Those are the two leading words in this whole embodiment experience for me. Acceptance is highly important, and that will open the door for you to connect who you are using whatever tool you want, whether it's art and samba or whether it's anything else. So I really thank you for joining me in this Saturday, this weekend. It's your free time that you chose to spend with me, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And
thank you, Felipe. Felipe, that was amazing. So one of the questions that has come through a couple of times is people were asking the name of that first piece of music that you played, and also some suggestions of other music where they could get that they could play to embrace their inner samba.
Yes. The first one, I think someone answered actually, but I will type it in the chat right now. The first piece that I played was a lundu.
Is lundu the genre or the actual name of the song?
Oh, the actual name of the song. I think it's on YouTube somewhere.
Maybe you could post, are you in our Facebook group, the Dance and Creativity Facebook group?
Yeah.
So if you go into the Facebook group, maybe underneath the live stream of this session, you could post the links to any YouTube music or songs and that people could go to.
Fair enough. We could do that way.
Amazing. And people are also asking for Spotify lists, if there's any playlist.
Yes, I just read that one. I do not have a Spotify playlist. I was telling Pat, the coordinator, the technician coordinator for our dance and creativity group. I'm not a very, very highly technical person, technology-oriented person. I don't have Spotify. But
that's fine.
I have my songs. And if you want some recommendations, I will try to leave something on the Facebook group. Or you can always contact me, get in touch with me, and I'll make sure to send you whatever, from basic beginners, low songs, to very fast, advanced paced ones that are also
amazing.
Really good. And
thank you. So yeah, we've put a link there in the chat to the Dance and Creativity Facebook group. So yeah, Felipe, if you can go in there and drop some suggestions for people music wise, that would be greatly appreciated. We've also shared in the chat, if you scroll up, there's Felipe's Instagram and his YouTube channel so that you can contact him via those. And once again, I just want to shout out to everyone and say, please do consider upgrading to the full package for the conference if you are able to. It is currently 50% discount. It gives you lifetime access to all of these incredible recordings, and the price will go up after the conference. So if you're sitting on the fence and thinking about it, now is the time, because the conference is nearly done. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life when it's over. But yeah, so thank you everyone for coming. Please do go into the coffee break rooms, chat with other participants, tell them about the amazing dance and creativity sessions that you've done, send them to our channel to watch the replays. They've got 48 hours if they want to get in and watch this for free. So please do share that. And Felipe, you've already given us your top tips, so I guess that's everything. Thank you so much. Take care, everyone. We've got the next session at 4 p.m., which is with our incredible sponsor, Amara Pagano. So please do come and check that out. Take care.
Bye. Take care, people. All the best.